Good afternoon. I'd like to go ahead and call the Senate Finance Committee to order. Time is 5 minutes after 1 p.m., April 21st, 2023. Joining me this afternoon is Senator Hoffman, Senator Olson, Senator Keel, myself, Stedman. Senator Merrick will be arriving shortly along with Senator Bishop. They're away right now with other state business. This afternoon, we're going to continue taking public testimony on the operating budget for FY24, which is House Bill 39. We'll also include the mental health budget for FY24, and that's House Bill 41, and also the Senate Bill 41, which is the capital budget for FY24. So those that have called in to testify, you can testify to any of those three bills. Please keep your testimony to the budget bills in front of the committee. We're asking everybody to stay within a two-minute limit, and I won't start the timer until after you get your introduction done, so your introduction of yourself will not subtract from your time. That way it's nice to stick to the time zone, so our time frame, so people from all around the state get equal time, and people that have called in and waiting for hours, they don't get cut off because we run out of time. We want to hear from the citizens. So I'm going to work on the list. I'll be chairing in the beginning of the meeting, and Senator Merrick will take over here in roughly a half an hour. We'll have a brief at ease.
Together on public testimony, we're going to continue our conversation on the HB 39, fiscal year 24 operating budget, HB 41, FY 24 mental health budget, and SB 41, the capital budget, fiscal year 24 capital budget. In the room, we're going to go into the room first. And we're going to invite Lisa Nadine, I believe that is. Now, if I've mispronounced it, you're going to put yourself on the record and correct me. There is a two-minute time limit, and I would ask that everybody be respectful of the 2 minutes. We have a big state to get around this afternoon, and please keep your comments focused to HB 39 operating, HB 41 mental health budget, and SB 41 capital budget. So, with that, welcome to Senate Finance. Put yourself on the record in 2 minutes, please.
Thank you. My name is Alyssa Nadine Rogers, and I'm calling from Spelling Native Council. I am the new Natural Resources Director, and I'm glad to be here, and thank you for this opportunity. The western region of Alaska is constantly being threatened with development. It's always in our back door knocking. We may be the poorest economically developed area in Alaska, but we are the strongest and most resilient people in the state. The ONC strongly advises the state to be considerate of the much needed adequate funds, like paying our teachers adequate salaries and benefits for teaching our future leaders. We need the infrastructure that are to support businesses and our fisheries. We will lose government to government consultations and other vital protections of the Yukon Kuskokwim Delta. DEC has already stated that it wants to streamline the permitting process and scale down enforcement of permits and mitigation requirements. This could have long-lasting impacts on our fish habitat and salmon fisheries. And as you already know, with the decline of the salmon fisheries and our salmon are at stake with our king salmon and our chums and now our coho, our folks have not been able to fish over the past 20 years. They've been having an empty freezers that are filled with moose, but the most vital fishery is our last standing, the most largest, last pristine king salmon fishery of the Kuskokwim area.
Thank you. All right. Now, because I'm hard of hearing, could you just put your name on the record one more time just for my benefit? I want to make sure that we've captured it, please.
Thank you. Alyssa, A-L-I-S-S-A, Nadine, N-A-D-I-N-E, Rogers, R-O-G-E-R-S. And I'm with the Otsalamut Native Council.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
Appreciate your testimony. Okay. All right. Now we're going to go down to Homer. And we're going to have Chris Rainwater for the Alaska Association of Conservation Districts in Homer. Mr. Rainwater, if you can hear us, put yourself on the record in 2 minutes, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Can you hear me?
Just a minute. We're doing a sound check. Okay, let's try that.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Thank you.
Oh, good. So, Chris Rainwater, I'm not sure what all kind of bio you needed on me, but lifelong resident, Homer, Alaska, chairman of the Alaska Association of Conservation Districts. I'm here to speak to a CAPSIS request in the capital budget, SB 41, TPS number 68001. So it's a line item that we ask of the state $250,000 to be spread amongst our 10 conservation districts for capital things and programs that go with them. For those that may not know, conservation districts came out of the Dust Bowl as a solution to renewable resource problems that were overwhelming our nation. The big charter was put together that the federal government would show up with large programs through USDA, the states would create these conservation districts under their own charter. And it has worked well. They tried having the government show up directly and say, we're here to help. And it did not work. So they created these conservation districts to interface between the landowners, the managers, and the federal government. And it has worked well for almost 90 years. So we have got a vigorous little program of conservation districts in our programs. Our biggest partner is USDA, but we have many federal programs as well. We work for BLM, we work for the Department of Defense, U.S. Fish and Wildlife. The USDA themselves bring approximately $10 million to the table in Alaska. The districts match that with $10 million of our own programs generated and spun by other federal programs mostly. We have about 75 staff people and 50 elected supervisors. The charter with the state, as we put it together, is to provide executive branch with advice on sustainable and renewable resources.
Mr. Rogers, could you wrap up in the next 10 seconds, please? Rainwater. Mr. Rainwater.
We offer this huge program and partnership. And all you have to do is come up with $250,000. It's about a 50-to-1 match for the program we put on the ground. And we also offer you the chance to live up to the promise made in the Statehood Act.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we're going to go to Doreen Schenkenberger, Chief Executive Officer for Partners of Progress in Anchorage. And forgive me for not pronouncing your last name correctly, but if you could put yourself on the record, your affiliation, and 2 minutes of testimony, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Doreen Schenkenberger, CEO for Partners for Progress in Anchorage, Alaska. We provide services to incarcerated and previously incarcerated homeless individuals, supporting Alaska's therapeutic courts, and operate Partners Walk-in Reentry Center in downtown Anchorage. Safe and sober housing is one of the services we provide during the reentry process, which is shown to directly affect recidivism. We support the Alaska Mental Health Trust recommendation to add $2 million to the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation's Homeless Assistance Program. Partners for Progress Reentry Center serves upwards of 1,000 people per year reentering our communities from incarceration, the majority of which are homeless. Safe, sober housing is crucial to successful reentry. Individuals cannot focus on recovery, obtaining employment, or meeting probation parole requirements if they don't have a safe roof over their head. Partners works with individuals for 4 to 6 months and provides supportive services, including housing, so that an individual can successfully complete the reentry process and become self-sufficient, which reduces recidivism and increases public safety. We're also supporting adding $750,000 to the Special Needs Housing Grant budget for the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation. Many of the individuals we serve have mental health, substance use disorder, and other special needs. These individuals are homeless and in the highest risk category for recidivating. Increasing this funding improves the chance of success for this group. This is not a handout. Individuals are required to participate in treatment, recovery and peer support, employment and training, and case management services to receive housing support through Partners Reentry Center. Adding this funding to the budget will help to keep this population from becoming homeless and recidivating, which would result in greater monetary and social costs for all of us. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for your testimony. Next up, Patrick Reinhart, Director of the Governor's Council on Disability and Special Education. Homer, good afternoon. Please put yourself on the record. 2 minutes, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Can you hear me all right?
Perfect.
Great, thank you. I just want to say from the Governor's Council on Disabilities and Special Education and as a beneficiary board for the Mental Health Trust, we appreciate all the items that you put in the budget related to our beneficiary group. I want to point out a few items that for you today. Number one, I know that the Senate included infrastructure funds for eradication of the IDD wait list. We appreciate that. I do want to point out that we are in need of funds for the system itself. I think there's been a request put forward of $15 million in GF to be matched with $15 million of federal to support our providers across the state who are struggling just to keep the doors open and to serve our population. So that's part of the effort to reduce the wait list is to keep the doors open of those services that provide, those service providers that provide the services every day. I also want to mention that the House did approve a centralized accommodation fund of $100,000. The idea of employing more people with disabilities in state government. And this is one item that we think can go a long way, not only to help with the state find qualified people to work in state government, but also help people with disabilities find employment and a meaningful life. So We appreciate it if the Senate would match the House with that. We, of course, support all the senior and disability service grants and the Aging and Disability Resource Center funding as well. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for your testimony. Next, we're going to go to Anchorage, Mr. Bob Scanlon, CEO, Blood Bank of Alaska. Good afternoon. Put yourself on the record. 2 minutes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Bob Scanlon. I'm the Chief Executive Officer for Blood Bank of Alaska. And on behalf of the Blood Bank of Alaska, we also sincerely thank you and the committee for inclusion in the budget. And I appear today telephonically to thank you all for including $2 million in the capital budget last year for the Blood Bank of Alaska's donor testing lab, and to respectfully request your consideration and support for the remaining funding to complete the project. The funding would be leveraged by the Blood Bank of Alaska to end a serious vulnerability to the Alaska blood supply by making Blood Bank of Alaska wholly self-sufficient in the area of donor testing and reference lab services through the establishment of a donor testing and reference laboratory. The full appropriation of $2 million is necessary to make this effort a reality, providing Alaska with donor testing infrastructure forever. Donor testing, which is currently being done for Blood Bank of Alaska out of state, Minneapolis, Minnesota, is currently a substantial bottleneck and ongoing vulnerability to blood supply operations and availability in the event of medical trauma and or declared state or national emergency. This year to date, Blood Bank of Alaska and the state of Alaska have suffered 9 days where blood tubes were unable to fly out of the state for testing due to airport closures, volcanic activity, and aircraft mechanicals. This jeopardized the ability of the blood bank to assure blood product availability. In addition, virtually all of our testing flights since October 2022 have been delayed in some form or fashion out of our state to our testing lab, causing a delay of life-saving blood product availability to Alaska's hospitals. For a number of years, Blood Bank of Alaska has worked towards the establishment of donor testing in Alaska, which would assure self-sufficiency, alleviating the threat of such disruptions to operations of the blood bank due to such things as airspace closure caused by volcanic and seismic activity, airline disruptions, and or state or national emergency. Additional threats include such things as civil unrest in the lower 48, weather issues, airspace issues outside of Alaska. By Blood Bank of Alaska becoming self-sufficient, Alaska is assured of predictability, consistency, versatility, and shorter response times in the event of disaster. As
Mr. Scanlon, can you wrap up, please?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. To close, we're requesting $2 million to be included in the capital budget for the Blood Bank of Alaska to complete necessary and critical infrastructure for Alaska, and I stand down and thank the chair and the committee members.
Thank you. Chris Millo, Blood Bank of Alaska, Anchorage, please put yourself on the record. Welcome in 2 minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Chris Mello. I am on the board of directors of the Blood Bank of Alaska, and I thank you for this opportunity. The Blood Bank of Alaska has been in existence for over 60 years. We are the only blood bank in the state of Alaska. We are an all-Alaskan, all-volunteer board of directors. And I just wanted to echo what our CEO, Bob Scanlon, had said, is that we need this donor testing lab so we can be sustainable going forward. In addition to some of the problems that we face because of weather delays and volcanoes, I also want to say that there are only about a half a dozen testing labs throughout the nation. And these labs, in order to be sustainable, operate at about 100% capacity. And when one of these labs goes down, all of the blood centers that use that lab are scrambling to find another lab that will test their blood. And so this puts us in a very tenuous and fragile situation. Because of the time-sensitive nature of the shelf life of blood and blood products, any delay in getting our blood tested can be very detrimental to the blood supply and even catastrophic. And with that, I just want to thank you again for this opportunity and ask that we receive our funding to complete our donor testing lab.
Thank you, Mr. Mello. Kelly Lessons, Anchorage School Board, welcome. Please put yourself on the record in 2 minutes, please.
Hi, good afternoon. My name is Kelly Lessons. I'm a member of the Anchorage School Board. I'm here to strongly urge the Finance Committee to amend HB 39 so as to increase education spending by no less than $257 million for FY24, which would align with SB 52, which I also urge you to pass out of committee. Although ASB has closed schools, generated new revenue streams, and promoted a variety of efficiencies to balance its budget since the 2016-17 year, largely under the foresight and leadership of Dr. Dina Bishop, whose management and expertise the governor trusts so much that he hired her to oversee his education initiatives this year, ASB could not balance the FY21 through FY24 budget without allocating more than $100 million from three rounds of federal relief funds to maintain classroom staffing. This current school year, under a budget proposed and adopted before Dr. Bishop left ASD, relief funds are being used to retain 477 classroom teachers and prevent a PTR, that's pupil-to-teacher ratio, increase of 10 across the system. The last of our relief funds, nearly $20 million, will be allocated towards retaining 164 teacher positions next year. If we do not take action, then our budget deficit for FY25 is projected at about $85 million. ASD's fiscal situation is not one of mismanagement. Our deficits loom as large as they do because prior legislators have allowed Alaska's districts to backfill budgets with federal relief funds for years, rather than supporting our students as the Constitution's founders intended. But ASD has managed, because we must. We balanced our FY24 budget by closing two schools, cutting administration, eliminating most of our virtual options, spending $45 million from our fund balance down to the board minimum, and relying again on about $20 million in remaining ESSER funds. But we couldn't balance that budget without impacting all of our kids. We're increasing our pupil-to-teacher ratio by one across the district to save $7.3 million next year. That means about 62 teachers are not being replaced if they're retiring or being involuntarily moved. This is impacting classrooms and schools in every Anchorage area legislator's district. Chugiak High School, for instance, is losing 3.4 teacher full-time equivalent positions. Fire Lake Elementary is losing 2.5. Mirror Lake Middle School is losing 1.2. I know I'm running out of time. Please know that all of ASD's COVID funds have been expended or are encumbered in compliance with federal guidance, that the Anchorage School Board engages in a highly transparent public process in accordance with OMA to develop and adopt our budget, that we began public discussions for FY24 in August of 2022, and launched an FY25 discussion this past Tuesday.
Kelly, please wrap up. Please wrap up.
Yep.
I'd let you go over a little bit.
Our budget is due to the Anchorage Assembly at the end of February, so please support HB 39 with at least $257 million in additional predictable funding as we move forward in the coming weeks. Thank you.
Tom Crafton, Key Coalition, Eagle River. Mr. Crafton, put yourself on the record in 2 minutes, please.
Yes, good afternoon. My name is Tom Crafton. I am a board member for the Key Coalition, as well as a parent for my daughter, Jenna Marie Crafton. Thank you for taking my call. I'm calling in behalf of HB 41, the Mental Health Budget Bill, and I hope we continue funding to eradicate the wait list. We've done a lot of work with the great help of SDS in outlining the needs. We just need to finish this. The other part of that is hopefully we can come up with the $15 million that we need for the providers that provide services around the state to all of our loved ones. Just a little background. I stayed home with my daughter, Jenna, for 25 years. I was a highly trained professional, but I couldn't advance my own career at my daughter's expense. So hence part of the workforce shortages. It took me out of helping and serving the last things that I really wanted to do. But through that, I've been able to help Jenna practice and use her strengths. And it's a little quirky. Jenna likes to meet people. She sailed around the world with us, meeting people all over the world. Tonight, Jenna is honored as one of the recipients for the top 40 young professionals in the state of Alaska as a disability advocate. And I wanted to thank you all. Jenna knows most of you, and I believe all of you know who Jenna is now. She's been honored on the Senate floor, the House floor, and a guest page. And you all have helped Jenna reach her developmental trajectory by meeting with her, listening, and showing the utmost respect and dignity. How many other Jennas do we have out there that don't have that doesn't have a family that can stay home for 25 years? This is the wait list. Let's get these people some services and see how many more Jennas we have out there, and they can reach their success and milestones as well. Your job is a hard job. I've been there many times meeting with you, and I used to think it was plush and easy, and it's not. You work hard for all of us, and I appreciate it. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you, Mr. Crafton. This is Senator Merrick. It's good to hear from you, and thank you for all you do, and give my best to Jenna. Next up in Anchorage, Steve Rollins. Welcome to Senate Finance. Please place yourself on the record and begin your two-minute testimony.
Thank you for your services, Senators, to the state of Alaska. My name is Steve Rollins, and I'm the head of the UAA APU Consortium Library. I've held this position for nearly 25 years. I would like to ask for your support of education in Alaska. Education is our hope for an expanding economy. Education in Alaska needs a stable and adequate SBA, and I hope that you can fund the SBA as close to the $1,000 level as possible. Another key element is supporting the libraries in Alaska. That includes SLED and the Alaska Library Catalog. I'm also asking for your support to add $635,000 to the operating budget. This amount was added last year to the operating budget, but was vetoed by the governor. Because of significant budget cuts at the university libraries of more than 28%, these critical statewide library programs are in jeopardy. The Alaska Library Catalog has grown to include more than 90 public, tribal, academic, and school libraries serving rural and urban areas, covering approximately 92% of the populated areas of Alaska. The Alaska Library Catalog has more than 259,000 registered borrowers with an annual circulation of 1.3 million books. SLED is a statewide web-based service that provides access to hundreds of millions of articles and ebooks, online research guides, and reference resources. SLED provides access to the very popular Live Homework Help, Alaska's Digital Archives, and the BrainPop programs. SLED is used by the universities, school districts, researchers, and homeschoolers. SLED supports the governor's reading and literary initiatives. SLED helps to address the digital divide between the haves and have-nots across Alaska. Because of budget reductions of more than 28% to university libraries, funds are needed to keep SLED in the Alaska Library Catalog sustainable.
Thank you, Mr. Rollins. If you could please wrap up your comments.
And for your consideration.
Thank you so much. We appreciate you taking the time to call in. Next up with Kids Corps Head Start is Dirk Shoemaker, followed by Laura Bonner. Mr. Shoemaker, welcome to Senate Finance. Please place yourself on the record and begin your two-minute testimony.
Good afternoon. Thank you, Senators, for your service and for this opportunity to testify to the Senate Finance Committee about House Bill 39. My name is Dirk Shoemaker. I am the Executive Director of Kids Corps Incorporated, a nonprofit providing Head Start and Parents as Teacher Services in Anchorage for over 300 children and families. And as you probably know, Head Start's comprehensive services are unique and include high-quality preschool and early learning classrooms, developmental health, dental screenings and follow-up, behavioral health support, and support for parents and the whole family. Quality is ensured by intensive federal on-site monitoring reviews that do not cost the state of Alaska a dime. In my opinion, no early childhood education provider is monitored heavily or is accountable as a Head Start program. So to ensure Head Start can continue to provide vital services to children and families who need them most, I'm requesting the Finance Committee support the $5 million increase in state Head Start grant funding that was approved in HB 39. Head Start grantees throughout the state are now facing a workforce crisis. Wages and benefits are far below K-12 levels, and as a result, programs are understaffed and struggling to keep their classrooms open. In addition, generationally high inflation has eroded our ability to meet basic operational costs like rent and utilities. Increasing Head Start by $5 million will provide resources needed to meet our basic expenses and to recruit and retain the essential workers who provide early care and education for our youngest children and who support and encourage their families. Thank you.
Great. Thank you very much, Mr. Shoemaker. We appreciate you calling in. We'll take two more off-net before we move to the Anchorage LIO. Next up, Laura Bonner from Anchorage, followed by George Hayes. Welcome, Ms. Bonner. Please place yourself on the record and begin your two-minute testimony.
Hi, good afternoon. My name is Laura Bonner and I'm retired and live in Anchorage.
And I'm just going to kind of give you an outline because all these issues have some a lot of backup to it. These are the priorities I think you should fund. Increase DSA. Schools need long-term funding. Schools are the first step in workforce development from pre-K as well as K-12 funding. Schools not only need teachers, but they also need teachers' aides, nurses, career counselors, and support staff like janitors. Need to fund the university for workforce development and research for Alaska industries like fish, economic research, and Arctic studies. I encourage you to invest in people, reduce the IDD wait list, fund domestic violence programs, and funding to get SNAP benefits to those who are in need. A reasonable PFD, like the 75-25 plan, the 75% going for services. That way we won't keep draining the CBR, which continuing to use it to balance the budget puts Alaska in financial jeopardy. Fund all the federal matches. And on capital budget, workforce development is one of the top things. And the infrastructure, including broadband access, marine highway, ports, and educational systems, and the UA deferred comp maintenance. And work on that list that Senator Bishop presented at one of the earlier hearings. I couldn't find it to be specific, but I'm confident the Senate can pass a more prudent budget than what the House has passed. And thank you for all your hard work. And I know you got difficult decisions ahead of you.
Thank you very much, Ms. Connor. We appreciate your time. Next, the deputy manager of the Mat-Su Borough and Palmer is George Hayes. Welcome to Senate Finance. Please place yourself on the record and begin your two-minute testimony.
Good afternoon. My name is George Hayes, and I'm the deputy borough manager for the Mat-Su Borough. Thank you for the opportunity to provide testimony today and for your service to our great state. The Mat-Su Borough continues to be the fastest growing municipality in the state, and that presents us some unique challenges for our community. We appreciate state support for fully funding school bond debt reimbursement, community assistance, and harbor debt reimbursement. We would also appreciate support for the 2024 Arctic Winter Games. A $2 million appropriation this fiscal year will help to enable the Mat-Su to host this world-class event for the state of Alaska. The games earlier this year in Wood Buffalo, Canada, generated energy and optimism for the games post-COVID, and the Mat-Su is excited about hosting these 2,000 athletes from among our Arctic nations and to provide games in which the all Alaskans can be proud. We also appreciate support for establishing a Mat-Su Metropolitan Planning Organization. Seed funding will allow us to stand up this new organization, only the third in the state, and to support transportation planning in our urbanized area better. Regarding potential capital funding, if the legislature sees fit to pursue a large capital budget, we continue to emphasize transportation funding as our primary need, and we do appreciate past support from the legislature in this crucial area. Many roads here in the borough require upgrades to improve connectivity and safety, and especially in regions with significant population growth like we have. We've paused putting a new ballot initiative before our residents while we develop the transportation package approved by our voters in 2021. Thank you again for your service and for your time and consideration today.
Great. Thank you very much, Mr. Hayes. We appreciate you taking the time to call in. We're going to move to the Anchorage LIO. First up will be Alicia Amber, Associated General Contractors, and then Catherine Cronlund. Ms. Amberg, welcome to Senate Finance. Please place yourself on the record and begin your two-minute testimony.
Thank you very much, and good afternoon, Senate Finance Committee members. For the record, my name is Alicia Amberg, and I serve as the Executive Director for Associated General Contractors of Alaska, commonly known as AGC. AGC is the construction industry's largest professional trade association, representing over 600 general and specialty contractors and industry suppliers statewide. We appreciate the opportunity to testify today in support of the Department of Environmental Conservation's pursuit of permit primacy over Section 404 of the Clean Water Act. We respectfully request the legislature provide adequate funding to DEC to assume primacy over this program. AGC believes that our economy would benefit from Alaskans permitting Alaskan projects, Having infrastructure projects permitted and regulated by Alaskans ensures that our unique landscape, isolated project locations, diverse geography, and especially our limited construction seasons would be considered by regulators without compromising the stringent environmental standards that we are required to follow by law. DOT and AGC members are some of the largest users of the 404 program in the state, as most construction and development projects, big or small, urban or rural, require a 404 permit. Bringing this program in-house will strengthen the state's permitting process by making it more stable, predictable, and timely without compromising the stringent regulatory and environmental standards and requirements. We believe that a state-run privacy program would create a level of access to regulators that would improve communication and accountability between the permitters and the applicants. This increase in accountability and accessibility will move infrastructure projects forward and assure that Alaska has control of its permitting priorities. Lastly, the funds coming to Alaska through the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act will create great opportunities for our state, but also has the potential to create a significant backlog in permits for infrastructure projects around the country. Virtually every construction project created by IJA funds would require a 404 permit. This isn't just for large natural resource development projects. 404 permits are needed for building roads, bridges, airports, schools, et cetera. A state-run primacy for the 404 program would provide the same high level of regulatory certainty while ensuring reasonable permitting timelines and processes suitable to Alaska's unique needs.
Thank you
for
Ms.
the opportunity
Amber,
to testify today and for your consideration.
Thank you so much. We appreciate you reaching out to us with your testimony. Next in Anchorage, Catherine Cronlin, followed by Chris Slurok. Welcome to Senate Finance. Catherine, please state your name and go ahead with your two-minute testimony.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. For the record, my name is Colleen Dishkin, and I serve as the Executive Director for the Association of Alaska Housing Authorities. AHA, as it's known, is a membership organization, and our members are the 14th Regional Housing Authorities that provide affordable housing and services for 196 tribes across the state. Thank you for the opportunity to provide testimony today. I'd like to talk to you about the impact that the AHFC programs have on our members and the communities that they serve. Specifically, the AHFC programs that are not included in the committee substitute working draft of the capital budget. These are housing development grants for the supplemental program, senior housing program, and professional housing program. I'll touch on each of them briefly. For example, some examples of how the AHA members have used the supplemental housing grant program, which provides no more than 20% of the total development cost, include civil work, electrical distribution, and water and sewer. You think that there's extra funding in federal housing programs for this infrastructure development. But please note, this is not the case. If a road or water and sewer needs to be brought to a home, this is done instead of building more homes. The supplemental housing program helps fill the gap so our regional housing authorities can build more housing. Our senior population is the fastest growing population, and the senior housing grant program provides helps to develop units so our elders can age in place instead of leaving communities or residing in assisted living facilities. Finally, we continually hear that our communities are having a difficult time recruiting and retaining a workforce and professionals such as teachers, public safety officers, and healthcare workers. One of the biggest barriers identified, especially in our rural communities, is the availability of housing. The professional housing program is a tool to help us address this need. We'd appreciate your support to help increase the supply of safe, sanitary, and affordable housing across the state through these AHFC programs. Thanks for your time today.
Thank you very much, Ms. Duskin. We appreciate you taking the time to call in. And next up in Anchorage is Chris Slorok with Cook Inlet Housing Authorization, and then Scott Vieira. Chris, welcome to Senate Finance. Please place yourself on the record and begin your two-minute testimony.
My name is Chris Slorok, Director of Public Policy with Cook Inlet Housing Authority. Co-chairs Hoffman, Olson, and Stedman, and members of the committee, thank you for the opportunity to offer public testimony. I will focus my comments on the capital budget and in particular working draft S. It is rare these days to have a conversation about Alaska's economy and workforce without hearing about the shortage of housing for all people and all income levels in Alaska. That is why the affordable housing development funding appropriated through AHFC is critical for our state. the Supplemental Housing Development Grant Program, the Senior Citizens Housing Development Grant Program, the Teacher, Health Professional, Public Safety Housing Development Program provide linchpin funding for the regional housing authorities in rural and urban areas to develop homes. These programs are never the only source of funding. They leverage federal, philanthropic, and private sources that ratio is up to 10 times to bring housing projects to reality. They are a demonstration of Alaska's commitment to housing and are a signal to other funders that a developer has support and capacity to construct the project. Elizabeth Place, a mixed-income, multi-use development in Anchorage, brought 50 homes to downtown and used 12 sources of capital. The Supplemental Housing Development Grant was key in securing the other 11 sources. This flexible funding allowed CHA to create market-rate homes for families in Anchorage's workforce, homes set aside for people with disabilities, and people exiting homelessness, along with our core mission of housing people who earn a low income. Because Supplemental Development Grant is so flexible, it can be applied to a piece of a project that is not covered by any other source. And because AHFC is such a good partner, these funds are directly transmitted to projects quickly with no bureaucratic waste so that all the funds are put into bricks and sticks. Alaskans need a safe place to call home. I want to recognize this body and the legislature as a whole for being supporters in the past, and I ask you to continue being partners in the future for Alaskan families to not just survive, but thrive in this great state we call home. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Chris. We appreciate your time and your testimony. Next in Anchorage is Scott Vieira, and then followed by Judy Jessen. Mr. Vieira, welcome to Senate Finance. Please place yourself on the record and begin your testimony.
Thank you. For the record, my name is Scott Vieira. I'm with North Star Terminal in Stevedore. We also do business as North Star Equipment Services, and I am testifying in support of the 405 primacy funding. North Star Terminal in Stevedore and Equipment Services has been the go-to company for members of the petroleum, minerals, and construction industries, as well as the U.S. military since 1950. We specialize in terminal operations, as well as heavy lift crane operations, foundation piles for bridges and highways, and pipeline support as well. Excuse me. If the 404 primacy is implemented, LASK will comply with strict regulatory standards that will be met. However, it'll be in our hands, and I think we'll do a lot better than the federal government, and we don't need any more project delays. The DOT and AGC, which I'm also a board of directors for, are the largest users of the 404 program. On-road and off-road permitting will significantly improve, which will help Alaska's economy. And again, we don't need any more project delays. We need long-term projects with long-term jobs for our kids' future. We need long-term jobs for many people. We need long-term jobs for many people, and many people are in the mind that in the next 5 years after this short-term funding and oil and gas go away, that Alaska could have a chance of falling flat on its face. With our unique landscape and isolated project locations and diverse geography, we are especially limited to construction season and would be considered by Alaska regulatory who are familiar with the Alaska landscape, and we can create policies and processes accordingly. Alaska has an excellent track record for developing our resources responsibly, and we can handle and maintain that if we're given the opportunity to have this 404 pushed through.
Thank you, Mr. Vieira. Please wrap up.
That's it. Please support Alaska's Swimming and Clean Water Act. Thank you for your time.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for calling in. Also with Anchorage LAO is Judy Jessen. Ms. Jessen, welcome to Senate Finance. Please place yourself on the record and begin your two-minute testimony.
Thank you. For the record, my name is Judy Jessen. I'm the political and advocacy organizer at SEIU 775, the Alaska Caregivers Union. I'm testifying today to ask for more funding in the budget for the Senior and Disabilities Division to support a participant-directed care option for Alaskans. If built and run thoughtfully, participant-directed care could help take care of some of the most serious and urgent workforce issues ahead of us, many of us already know that Alaska has the fastest growing senior population in the United States. And at the same time, the number of potential caregivers is declining. Participant-directed care could be an option within home and community-based services that offers choice and helps people with disabilities and seniors and elders to live independently in their homes and communities. This change would affect 2 in 5 Alaskans with disabilities and 1 in 6 elders. Investment in home and community-based services isn't just the right thing to do, it's smart for a state's economy. Institutional placement is the eventual last resort for many people who don't have access to the services they need to be able to stay at home. These institutional placements are incredibly expensive, compared to home and community-based services. In just fiscal year 2021, investments in home and community-based services saved the state and federal government almost $1 million. Services that allow people to stay in their homes and with community also do a way better job meeting people's unique health and social needs. Elders overwhelmingly say that they want to stay in their homes. If the state doesn't have the capacity to support those needs, it doesn't mean that the needs disappear. Elders that don't have everyday assistance may be subject to preventable injuries, to illnesses, and hospitalizations. When an elder falls and has no choice but to enter an institution, that becomes a much higher cost to the state and to all of us than if that person had access to a caregiver. Disability rights advocates have long pushed for additional options to be made available within home and community-based services. We should listen to the people that are receiving these services and make the changes that support those with disabilities living full lives. Participant-directed care is an additional program that would allow people to have more say over what services they receive, when they receive them, how they receive them, and who is providing those services.
You're over 2 minutes. Please wrap up your comments.
Oops, sorry about that. This option could potentially expand the workforce by bringing lots of unpaid caregivers into the job market and provide really phenomenal care for people who need it. Thank you so much for your time and consideration.
Thank you, Ms. Jessen. We are going now to move to our off-net callers. First up from Anchorage in the Blood Bank of Alaska is Matt Carl, and then we'll move to Beth Norland. Mr. Carl, welcome to Senate Finance. Please state your name, affiliation, and begin your two-minute testimony.
Hi, my name is Matt Carl. Thank you guys for your time today, members of the committee. I'm a lifelong Alaskan who grew up in the village of Heidelberg. I am an enrolled tribal member of the Tlingit Haida Tribes of Alaska, and I currently serve as the Senior Director of Corporate Communications for Sea Alaska, where I'm responsible for managing the company's engagement with our shareholders. I am here today as a member of the Blood Bank of Alaska Board of Directors to advocate for a $2 million appropriation to make possible an urgently needed blood donor testing laboratory. A donor testing lab will make possible self-sufficiency for Alaska's blood and blood product needs. Not only will this benefit all Alaskans, but it will especially benefit the life-saving blood needs of Alaska's rural communities. In years past, Alaska's rural communities were dependent on walking blood banks. In the event of a trauma, a community member would receive a call in the middle of the night to donate untested blood to a recipient in need. Today, Blood Bank of Alaska, Alaska's sole blood bank, assures that each rural hospital has a consistent and predictable blood supply. A donor testing lab will assure this blood supply remains available even under emergency and disaster conditions. It is vital that the donor testing lab is built for all Alaskans. I urge the committee to please approve the requested $2 million appropriation to assure self-sufficiency finally and permanently in blood and blood product availability for the people of Alaska. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you, Mr. Carl. We appreciate you calling in. Next, the Executive Director of the Anchorage Park Foundation, Beth Norland, followed by Andres Wiedmer. Ms. Norland, welcome to Senate Finance. Please state your name and begin your two-minute testimony.
Hello, my name's Beth Norland. I'm the executive director of the Anchorage Park Foundation. I'm calling to testify today about the state capital budget. Anchorage loves its parks and trails, and the Anchorage Park Foundation is focused on finding local, private, and state funding to match federal funding for Alaska Long Trail projects, the Spinard Railroad multi-use pathway, the University and Medical District Trail System, the Chester Creek Greenbelt Park and Trail Enhancements, the Russian Jack Springs Park Safety Improvements, East Chester Woodside Park Inclusive Playground Project, and the Takotna Cook Inlet National Heritage Area proposal we're working on. Good luck putting together a capital budget that leverages dollars for Anchorage and for all of Alaska. And thank you so much for all of your hard work.
Thank you, Beth. We appreciate you calling in. Next in Anchorage is Andres Widmer, followed by Ginger McKee. Welcome to Senate Finance. Please state your name for the record and begin your two-minute testimony, Andres.
Yeah, hi, this is Andres Widmer. I'm from Anchorage, Alaska.
Hello, my name is Alexandria Gasman. I'm the team leader for the Arc of Anchorage, and I'm calling on behalf of an individual who experienced an intellectual disability, and his name is Andres Widmer. We would like to thank all the senators for their support that you have given this year, and also thank you for directing the Department of Health in creating a five-year plan to eliminate the wait list for the IDD waiver. Andres have continued to receive services throughout the day from the Medicaid program. And if he couldn't receive the services, then he wouldn't be the artist that he is today. We are grateful for the support that he received from the waiver program. We would encourage all of you, to create a plan to raise the rates for our direct support providers. They are getting paid less than anywhere else. Andres counts on the staff every day, so we would need to ensure that we have a workforce within the next 5 to 10 years. Some of our agencies are going to go out to business because they can't afford to hire and keep staff, and we would like to ask if you can please fund the $15 million budget for the DD sustainability plan so we can keep our services. Thank you again for your support and taking the time to listen to our testimony.
Thank you very much, and please tell Andres thank you for calling in. Next in Two Rivers is Ginger McKee, followed by Nikki Sarzi. Ginger McKee, welcome to Senate Finance. Please place yourself on the record and begin your two-minute testimony.
Hi, my name is Ginger McKee. I live in Two Rivers, Alaska. I'm calling regarding the Two Rivers Fire Service area and a $2.8 million grant that the Fairbanks North Star Borough Mayor Bryce Ward has applied for a fire department. We are a fire service area with seated commissioners who they brought forth a budget of $51,000 for a year. They voted on it. It was passed. They sent it to the reset committee who unanimously approved it. It is now sitting in the hands of the borough assembly, and we have no reason to believe that the borough assembly will not approve this budget. Bryce Ward applied for this grant, $2.8 million for a building, $1 million for the building, $1 million for a well and water storage and a water truck, with a budget of $51,000 a year and a level of service of prevention and education. We have no need of these things. Therefore, we have no need of $2.8 million. It is a waste of the state's money. It is a waste of the taxpayers' money. Mr. Ward and his chief of staff, Jim Williams, have been constantly trying to undermine and overrule our fire service commissioners. Those commissioners have listened very carefully to the populace of Two Rivers and have done exactly what we have asked them to do. Mayor Ward is insistent that we have a full service fire department out here, even though there are less than 1,000 properties in the proposed area. There is no way we can afford a fire department. Please.
Nikki, thank you. Please wrap up.
Take this $2.8 million and just put it back in your coffers and leave it there and let it draw interest. Fairbanks North Star Borough and Two Rivers, Alaska do not want it. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. McKee. We appreciate your time. Next from Fritz Creek is Nikki Sarzi and then Kimberly Sasser. Nikki, welcome to Senate Finance. Please place yourself on the record and begin your 2 minutes.
Hi, I'm Nikki Sarzi, live in Fritz Creek. I volunteer clearing trails as a member of the nonprofit Friends of Kachemak Bay State Park. I do the work paid seasonal trail crews should be doing in Ketchikan Bay State Park. The park is 380,000 acres and has 71 miles of trail. It has only one paid staff in charge of trails and no paid trail crew or facility maintenance staff. Two rangers and the trail specialist must depend on volunteers for trail clearing, rerouting, and improvement, bridge replacement, repair, sign placement, moving overflowing outhouses, and replacing blotting outhouses and tent platforms, to name a few tasks. The staff can achieve only limited needs of the park because volunteers are mostly available for maintenance projects the volunteers are willing to complete, independent of the priorities of the staff. That means park staff can't depend on getting projects done. For example, last summer, rangers put out a call for volunteers to help place 5 directional signs in the Gruing Valley because hikers kept getting lost. The rangers rescheduled the work 4 times for lack of volunteers, and it didn't get done until after the season. Basically, we're paying park rangers and a trail specialist, but not giving the tools to do their job. Approximately 90 people signed up to volunteer with the Friends in 22, but only a handful were available to work. Give you an idea what happens when trails aren't maintained. I worked on clearing the Eastern Emerald Lake Trail last summer that was choked with brush from neglect. It took 12 volunteers, 9 of whom over 60, 8 trips to clear 3 miles of trail, including cutting 26-plus fallen logs. Our gear rides were furnished and paid for by the Friends. State Parks and Homer get a lot of use and provide many jobs. The amount of funding needed by the Ketchikan Bay State Park is $50,000 to $100,000 for a seasonal crew of 4 to 5 people. A trail specialist is only funded for 8 months and could be funded for 12 to allow him to apply for grants to help with funding park projects.
Nick, the NIAID boat that is used to transport
staff across the bay is needed to be replaced at $250,000. These projects were identified as top priorities by the park staff and forwarded to the governor, by the Ketchikan Bay Citizens Advisory Committee. Please support funding some of these projects. Thank you.
Thank you, Nikki. We appreciate you volunteering in our parks. Next from Anchorage is Kimberly Sasser, followed by Bert Hoftaling. Ms. Sasser, welcome to Senate Finance. Please place yourself on the record and begin your 2-minute testimony.
My name is Kimberly Sasser. I'm from Anchorage, and I have intellectual developmental disability, and I live in a group home, and I attend the rec center classes at the Arc of Anchorage. I came from a line of people who receive services. My mom, my uncle, we all live in a group home, and without services, we would not have a place to live. I am grateful for the waiver program. I would like to encourage all of you that create a plan to raise the rates for our direct services professional, my staff every day. And so we need to ensure that we have a workforce within the next 5 to 10 years. Some of our agencies are going to go out of business because they can't afford to hire and keep staff. I would like to ask if you can please fund the $15 million budget for the IDD. So I can keep my services. Thank you again for your support and taking the time to listen to my testimony.
Thank you, Kimberly. We appreciate you calling in with your heartfelt testimony. It was nice to hear from you. I will remind callers that you need to be signed in by 2:30 p.m. if you're going to testify in today's hearing. Next up from Big Lake is Bert Hoftaling, followed by Marge Stoneking. Mr. Hoftaling, nice to hear from you. Welcome to Senate Finance. Please place yourself on the record and begin your 2 minutes.
My name is Bert Hoftaling. I'm from Big Lake, Alaska. I represent myself, my children, and over 5,000 Alaskans that follow what I have to say. It appears that Alaska Ledge goal is to completely wipe out the savings in SBR and CBR, your version of our PFD, so you can justify never giving Alaskans another PFD. We Alaskans want a budget cap that reflects the revenue we have coming in. To defund all programs and rebuild them from the ground up, funding all essential services only, removing all federal funding from the budget, and follow Alaska's constitution that explicitly says we are to maximize all of Alaska's resources for the maximum benefit of all Alaskans. Within 5 short years after doing this, we'll no longer be dependent on federal government for our survival, no longer have to live under the policy strings attached to that federal money when it comes in. Alaska schools have failed our children. Time to restructure our schools, reduce them from 54 districts to 17. This would reduce administrative overhead from approximately 1,600 people to just 500 employees, assuming there is only 30 admin in each district, leaving 1,100 paid-for positions revenue to be distributed into the teachers' paychecks and classroom where that money should be going in the first place. Returning parental rights that have federal money that has eroded away, and this and many other revenue-reducing plans are available to be employed that can bring the fiscal budget back in line with the revenue available to support essential services in Alaska. These and many other ideas should be what our Alaska representative government should be doing, not the politicians that seem to be on stage there today. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hoftaling. And I do have a question for you. There are several revenue bills before the legislature at this time. Do you support raising taxes in order to pay a large PFD?
I support reducing the budget right now and bringing accountability for the money that is already being spent prior to anything that would say add a tax to our what we have to pay.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Next up in Anchorage is Marge Stoneking, followed by George Thompson. Ms. Stoneking, welcome to Senate Finance. Please place yourself on the record and begin your two-minute testimony.
Thank you, Senator Merrick and members of the committee. I'm Marge Stoneking, Advocacy Director for AARP Alaska. And nursing home institutional care for one Alaskan at an average of nearly $160,000 a year costs the state Medicaid program 4 times or more what a home and community-based services waiver costs. But the waiver system's at risk. Alaska is experiencing a severe direct care workforce shortage impacting the ability for people with disabilities and the elderly to receive in-home services and avoid costly institutional care. Alaska must use all the tools in the toolbox to sustain HCBS, or our Medicaid long-term care budget will skyrocket and older Alaskans will have poorer outcomes. The vast majority of us want to age in place at home, and aging in place is indeed a key plank of Governor Dunleavy's Health and Families Initiative. Participant-directed care would allow older Alaskans to directly hire family, friends, or neighbors, and AARP supports giving Alaska Senior and Disability Services funds to stand up the program. Senior and Disability Services indicates that they need a resource allocation software system to implement participant directed care services as an HCBS option. SDS has long discussed and contemplated this tool, which it also named as a necessary first step in their IDD waitlist elimination plan. The tool would allow the state to assign a needs-specific budget to each waiver participant rather than one-size-fits-all or unlimited services. And this is equivalent to the cost of avoiding institutional care for just 4 Alaskans and stands to benefit hundreds of older Alaskans and those with disabilities through participant-directed waiver services. So AARP supports the $647,800 recommendation by the HES Finance Subcommittee and asks for budget intent language added to say that it stands up a participant-directed care service delivery model.
We further support the governor's proposed $1.5 million for senior community grants to senior centers and independent living centers. Thank you.
Thank you. We appreciate hearing from you today. Next from Houston is George Thompson, followed by Callie Dennis. Mr. Thompson, welcome to Senate Finance. Please place yourself on the record and begin your two-minute testimony.
Yes, thank you for listening to us today. I am George Thompson. I'm the Public Works Director for the City of Houston, Alaska. We've got several proposals that we've moved forward to you. One is our natural gas expansion project. Currently, we're looking at trying to provide gas for another 340 houses. The Houston, City of Houston, really our poverty rate is 20%, and we have a very low household income. So anything we can do to offset the cost of fuel and heating would be greatly appreciated. We're looking at $3.2 million in order to expand this natural gas system into our city. It'll also bring businesses to us as we can get this gas line extended to the highway system. Our second project is a new fire station and public works facility. This would be located directly in the heart of the City of Houston. Right now, most of our residents, about 70%, live within a few miles of the location we'd like to choose. We're looking at $3 million potentially to build this new building. It'd be a combination of a fire station and a public works facility that would allow us to work on our own equipment and store it out of the weather. Both of these projects are very important to the people in Houston here, especially the gas. It can drop the cost of heating 70% or more for some people. And with our low income rates out here, it would really help our community. So I'd really hope that you guys can look at this and help us out. Houston's a small community here, and we can use any help we can get. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much, Mr. Thompson. Next from Anchorage is Callie Dennis. Welcome to Senate Finance. Please place yourself on the record and begin your 2 minutes.
Hi, my name is Carly Dennis. I'm from Eagle River in Chubiak, born and raised. And as a constituent from a fiscally conservative district, I was really disappointed to see the 404 primacy program included in the current budget. As many of you know, assuming the 404 primacy program would be extremely costly to the state of Alaska. In 2022, the DEC requested funding for 28 staff, and there's been an estimate of around $5 million for this program. But currently, the Army Corps of Engineers, which runs the program in Alaska, requires 49 staff with an annual budget of almost $8 million. And what's more, I was shocked to learn that due to the high cost of this program, only three other states have assumed this permitting responsibility, Michigan, New Jersey, and Florida. And of those, both Michigan and Florida have experienced severe problems with the program. Following 20 citations for noncompliance, the governor of Michigan, the former governor of Michigan, proposed returning the program to the federal government. And Florida has already requested funding for an additional 17 positions because they so badly underestimated what it would take to run this program. And what's more, any potential future funding cuts to this program would really hurt businesses and fisheries in Alaska. The DEC has a history of cutting funding for important programs like oil spill response and the Ocean Rangers program over the last several years, and any future funding cuts to the 404 program would inevitably result in slower issuance of permits and permits that are not protective of our fisheries. So I find it really irresponsible that we would waste money on this program when we have so many other urgent needs, many of which we've heard today in testimony, spending money on our kids and education and our elders. So I would urge you all to please do not fund the 404C primacy program and please put the money somewhere better. Thank you.
Thank you, Carly. We appreciate you calling in today. We are going to move to the Anchorage LIO where Susie Pearson from the Awake Shelter is available. Susie, welcome to Senate Finance. Please place yourself on the record and begin your 2 minutes. Ms. Pearson at the Anchorage LIO, are you available? Okay, we will come back to the Anchorage LIO. We'll move back off net. We have from Wasilla, Leslie Davis, followed by Beverly Lukey-Chan. Leslie, welcome to Senate Finance. Please place yourself on the record and begin your two-minute testimony.
Hello, my name is Leslie Davis, and I live in Wasilla and am the parent guardian for a wonderful young man. I am testifying for increasing funding for individuals with developmental disabilities. I want to thank the legislature for all your hard work this session. It is very much appreciated. I'd like to start with some brief background.
My son experiences autism and major depressive disorder and receives services on the Individuals with Developmental Disabilities Medicaid waiver. Without the waivered services he currently gets, which are group home rehabilitation, intensive active treatment, and soon to have supported employment, which he and us as his parents are super excited about. He would most likely be in an expensive residential treatment facility out of state or an institution similar to the Alaska Psychiatric Institute. Because of the Medicaid waiver, he now has a supportive, safe place to live, getting weekly mental health services, and as mentioned earlier, now has a job. Our goal as parents has always been to help him and his sisters to be productive, taxpaying citizens, and now that realization is coming true. But with the rising cost of inflation to staff and businesses that provide those much-needed services to my son are also impacted. We all need to assure the systems that are currently in place to help the most vulnerable are sustainable and strong. We are so very grateful to have the services we have, but we do not want him or others to backslide into expensive institutional care. Please support the funding increases to secure my son and others like him a solid future. Your work as a legislator is so important and valued. We appreciate the opportunity to share our concerns and our story today. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Leslie. And your son sounds like he has a wonderful mom willing to advocate for him. So we appreciate
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Appreciate all you do. Next from Anchorage with the Anchorage Ski Club is Beverly Luke Chan, followed by Gabe Kidder. Beverly, welcome to Senate Finance. Please place yourself on the record and begin your two-minute testimony.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, thank you. Please go ahead.
Hello, my name is Beverly Ledke Chan. I'm a lifelong Alaskan and a volunteer with the Anchorage Ski Club. Thank you for allowing me to give testimony in support of six projects within Chugach State Park that are included in the Alaska Long Trail Project submitted for inclusion in the state capital budget. Project 67994, Arctic Valley Trailhead Parking Expansion, would fund a preliminary design and feasibility study for upgrading the Arctic Valley Trailhead in Chugach State Park. The existing trailhead road and parking lots were built by the Anchorage Ski Club in the 1950s and were recently transferred to Alaska State Parks ownership. They do not conform to any modern Alaska State Park standards and suffer from many issues. During peak seasons, the current unpaved parking lots are full with vehicles parked along the road, creating hazards and impeding traffic flow. The completion of the Hunter Pass Trail last fall is expected to make matters worse. The remaining projects I would like to mention today are also within Chugach State Park, which has a small operating budget and depends upon capital funding and outside funds as well as community support to make the upgrades necessary to keep up with ever-expanding public use. All of these projects address one or more of the most common issues facing the park today. Those issues include erosion and other problems inherent with mountainous terrain and trails, volunteer trails formed by heavy public use ahead of any proper design and construction process, and conflicts with neighbors and property owners created by having a large state park butting up against a major population center. These projects will improve multi-use access to Chugach State Park and ensure quality access for residents and visitors alike for generations to come. Thank you for your time and allowing me to testify on behalf of these six capital projects within Chugach State Park that are part of the Alaska Long Trail bundle of projects.
Thank you, Beverly. And my district includes a majority of Chugach State Park, so I appreciate you using our beautiful parts of our district, and I do as well. Next up from Wasilla is Gabe Kidder, followed by Trevor Storrs. Mr. Kidder, welcome to Senate Finance. Place yourself on the record.
This is Gabe Kidder. I am a 33-year lifelong resident of Wasilla and am calling in regards to the state taking over the 404 permit process. I feel at this point the Senate Finance Committee's duty should be to either save money in aspects that are needed to be saved or spend money in areas that could benefit all of Alaskans or spend money in ways to have a return on investment to Alaska in itself. I feel that the 404 permit being held by the federal government at this point is a free service to the state of Alaska, and the state is in no fiscal situation at this point to take on any more positions or create positions when we have issues with retention as it is, or even finding employees to fill vacancies as it is. It's just my thought that maybe further in the future, it can be looked at further. I'm all for getting the federal government's hands out of the state's business and allowing Alaska to deal with their own things. But I don't feel like now is the time, and I definitely don't feel that $5 million is enough money to cover what would be needed to do the job properly, and I don't feel that DEC could do that either. I want to thank you guys for doing what you're doing. I know this year's tough, and it's an uphill battle for the state of Alaska to figure out how to budget everything and pay for everything. So I just want to say thank you guys, and let's just leave the feds to this so we have some more money to take on more duties. Thank you.
Thank you, Gabe. We appreciate your testimony. Next in Anchorage is Trevor Storrs, followed by Catherine Cronlund. Mr. Storrs, welcome to Senate Finance. Please state your name and affiliation and begin your 2 minutes.
Good afternoon. For the record, I'm Trevor Storrs, President and CEO of the Alaska Children's Trust. The Children's Trust is a statewide lead organization focused on the prevention of child abuse and neglect. Alaska has long struggled with one of the highest rates per capita of child maltreatment in the nation, with thousands of cases substantiated each year. Child abuse and neglect is a complex issue. There's no single cause, no single solution. However, evidence shows that when children and families have the knowledge, skills, supports, and resources to thrive, the chance of child abuse and neglect is greatly reduced. I know everyone sitting around this table and on the phone values Alaska's children and their ability to grow into healthy adults. And to an extent, this value is certainly reflected in this year's budget, even as we face a very challenging revenue picture. Yet, if we truly want to work towards a sustainable budget, we also have to think about reducing the long-term cost of childhood trauma. Primary prevention must be an investment priority. It's for this reason there are several areas we think added investment is still needed, and that includes an additional $5 million for Head Start programs to match the House version of the budget, direct support of parents in healthy child development through programs such as Help Me Grow, and serious funds to stabilize the child care sector. Expiring federal relief dollars simply aren't enough this year, and Alaska's workforce shortages have hit everyone. Ensuring Alaska's child care sector is functional, accessible, and affordable is critical to getting Alaskans back to work, helping working parents provide for their families, and increase kindergarten readiness in our state. We strongly encourage a one-time investment of at least $15 million to support high-quality child care while the governor's task force works towards a long-term fix. Thank you for this opportunity to testify and for your consideration of additional investments to ensure our children live in safe, stable, and nurturing environments.
Thank you very much, Trevor. It's nice to hear from you. In Anchorage, we have Catherine Cronlund, followed by Ron Meehan. Catherine, welcome to Senate Finance.
Hello. Good afternoon, and members of this committee. My name is Catherine Cronlund, and I live in Anchorage. I'm the parent and caregiver for two special needs children. I'm here to speak on support of HB 41, the mental health budget. My children have qualified for the individualized supports waiver for the last 5 years. In that time, we have gone through 7 providers and 3 agencies. None of the providers lasted long-term, missed multiple days, or agencies were unable to accommodate my children's schedule. Finally, with Appendix K, I was allowed to provide the necessary supports to ensure the children's services continued. The ability to allow me to provide services to the children has been smooth sailing. I've been able to alter my work schedule to be more available to the children and their specific needs. Our home is set up to ensure the children have the best possible supports in place. The waiver will allow my children to learn fundamental skills necessary to reside independently in the community. Home and community-based waiver services provide fundamental skills for these individuals to acquire, improve, and retain self-help, socialization, and adaptive life skills. As parents, we're continuing thinking about independence, autonomy, and support for our children. These skills are necessary to reside independently without support, hold employment, and to become functional members of society and the community. Allowing family members to be paid caregivers to individuals with developmental disabilities alleviates the constant worry and stress over missed waiver visits and unreliable caregivers. This will not only benefit them, but it will benefit the state of Alaska in the long run.
Please consider passing HB 41 so services may continue. If services lack, I fear my children will show regression in areas where multiple skills have improved. Thank you, and I look for your support for individuals with developmental disabilities in Alaska.
Thank you, Catherine. We appreciate everything that you do. Next, take care now. Next from Anchorage is the Policy and Advocacy Manager with the Food Bank of Alaska, Ron Meehan, followed by Winter Marshall Allen. Ron, welcome to Senate Finance. Please place yourself on the record and begin your 2 minutes.
Thank you, Senator Merrick, and members of the Senate Finance Committee. My name is Ron Meehan. I am the Policy and Advocacy Manager for the Food Bank of Alaska and the Alaska Food Coalition Manager. I am calling in today from Anchorage to testify in favor of the governor's amended supplemental budget proposals for technology and database upgrades and staff and IT workers at the Department of Health. This will help get through the current SNAP backlog and complete the long overdue and much needed computer systems upgrades to help prevent future backlogs. This is not the first SNAP backlog we've had in the last few years, and they have a devastating impact on people and communities across the state. We know that when Alaskans aren't able to get the SNAP benefits and other state assistance benefits they rely on, they show up at our network of food banks and food pantries that are already strained. One of the greatest bottlenecks in getting applications processed has been a technology system that hasn't been updated in decades. It uses a COBOL language that one person at the state has known how to navigate and had to manually enter information into. This has posed significant challenges to the state's ability to process applications timely and efficiently. The Division of Public Assistance is also understaffed and overworked, and hiring more workers and IT staff will reduce their current strain and strengthen the ability of the division to process applications faster. We hope to see other long-term efforts to streamline and improve SNAP alongside this, such as the implementation of broad-based categorical eligibility. We're thankful to the legislature for passing the fast-track supplemental budget and to the Department of Health and the Governor's Office for the $1.68 million allocation to provide immediate relief around the state to help meet the current need while we're in this backlog. We've already distributed more than 180,000 pounds of food to communities across the strait, and we'll be continuing to distribute several hundred thousand pounds more into June. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to testify this afternoon.
Thank you, Mr. Meehan. We appreciate you calling in and for all you do to keep Alaskans fed. I will note that we are extending the sign-up time to 2:45. We had gotten some wrong information here, so we will accept calls until 2:45 p.m. Next from Homer is Winter Marshall Allen, followed by Mark Lackey. Winter, welcome to Senate Finance. Please place yourself on the record and give your testimony.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Winter Marshall Allen, and I have the pleasure of being an intensive needs special education teacher at Homer High School. I also have the pleasure of being a related community service provider. For those same individuals, most of them are adults, though not on my caseload, with disabilities within our community. So I would like to speak to two specific issues that are on the budget, and one is a thank you and recognition of some effort that has already been made by this committee, and the other is a continuation of support for the IDD waivers as the funding allocation has been proposed and then supported by the ARRP. So again, my name is Winter Marshall Allen. I'm a special education teacher and have been for the last 16 years. I wanted to say thank you very much for the one-time $175 million, I believe, increase to the budget for education here in the state of Alaska. I understand that it is the hope of the body to look at the formula for that. I would love to see productive conversations around the formula. I would hope that the formula is not totally rebuilt. This one-time funding, I know in my district, is going to save about 100 jobs, and those 100 jobs, those individuals will not see pink slips this year. We are hoping to not see pink slips next year and to not necessarily be advocating for the same funding concerns that we've had for multiple years in our state. In regards to those, if we can diversify our revenue bases, I think that would strategically help to meet the direct service needs that we have here in our state. We have heard many fabulous testimony in regards to programs that have been very successful and then programs that are still needing to help. So thank you so much for your time. Thank you so much for being constituents of your being good service representation for your constituency.
Thank you, Winter. We appreciate what you do as well. I will note that the $175 million outside the BSA funding from the House's budget was, it did not receive a three-quarter vote from the funding source with the Constitutional Budget Reserve, so there's currently no extra funding outside of the BSA. Next up, we have Mark Lackey in Wasilla, followed by Wes Hoskins. Welcome back, Mr. Lackey. Good to hear from you. Place yourself on the record, and you can begin your 2 minutes.
Good afternoon, everyone. For the record, my name is Mark Lackey. I'm the Executive Director of CPS Early Learning in the MAPSU. Our program is one of 17 programs around the state of Alaska that delivers Head Start and early Head Start services. For context, our program here in the MAPSU has had waiting lists of children forever. I've been the Executive Director since 2005, and we're never able to meet all the kids that are eligible for our services. However, we have always, until COVID, been able to meet the required number of slots that the Fed requires to serve. For our federal grants and our state grants, we are expected to serve a certain number of children, and that's smart because we're using taxpayer dollars and we want to serve as many children as we possibly can. Since COVID, I have not been able to hire, recruit, and retain as many staff as I need to meet those required numbers. So I still have waiting lists. In fact, they're even bigger. There's still just as many children that are eligible that we could be serving, but I don't have enough staff to meet the numbers of children that are required by the federal government. So in the House has recognized this as a pretty serious issue. Just incidentally, I'm one of those 17 programs, but there's six others around our state that are in that exact same situation. And the feds have sent those programs, including our own, a letter saying we have 12 months to get fully enrolled. And all of those letters have dollar amounts that they're threatening to withhold if we do not. So the House has recognized this as an urgent and critical issue, and they have put $5 million into the budget. That $5 million would return the state of Alaska to a 20% match against the federal dollars that come into our state. Currently, $60 million come in from the federal government, and this additional $5 million would get us up to 11.8. We appreciate the Senate taking the same consideration, seeing the urgency of this issue, and investing in our programs that are serving children who most need our help. Thank you very much for all of your service and all of your work this year.
Thank you, Mr. Lackey. We appreciate your time calling in. We're going to go to Wes Hoskins in Palmer with the MAPSU Trails and Parks Foundation. Then we will move to the Anchorage LIO for Susie Pearson. Welcome, Mr. Hoskins. Place yourself on the record, please, and begin your testimony.
Good afternoon, members of the Senate Finance Committee. My name is Wes Hoskins, and I'm the Executive Director of the MAPSU Trails and Parks Foundation based in Palmer. I'm testifying on Senate Bill 41, and specifically in support of the Alaska Long Trail projects in CAPSIS. MAPSU Trails and Parks Foundation is a public foundation that funds trails, parks, and recreation projects all over the MAPSU borough. In the borough, the fastest growing area of the state, protected and accessible trails are a key to residents' quality of life and are an essential asset for individuals and businesses participating in the outdoor recreation economy. Of the 14 projects that Alaska Trails has submitted in the FY24 state capital budget, two concern the MAPSU. TPS number 67978, Core MAPSU Planning. This will help fund the needed study to find a safe and enjoyable way to get from Muir Lake North through the Palmer Core and into Hatcher Pass. This segment will be a truly spectacular trip with many opportunities to stop and access businesses and open space along the way. It may even connect to the soon-to-be-built Gateway Visitor Center. Second is TPS number 66755. The GPRA to Little Susitna Loop Traverse will connect three highly prized outdoor recreation areas in the Talkeetna Mountains, Government Peak Recreation Area, Ski Talk Ski Resort, and Hatcher Pass. The trail and its connections have already been professionally planned. We just need DNR to approve the easement application, and then we get it funded. The Board of Directors at the MAPSU Trails and Parks Foundation stands by to help provide a matching investment in these projects. We'll engage and put skin in the game the catalyst will be getting capital budget funding. These projects will fill key shovel-ready and planning-ready gaps in the section between Anchorage and Fairbanks. Thanks so much for hearing our testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Hoskins. We appreciate you taking time to call in. Now at the Anchorage LIO is Susie Pearson with the Awake Shelter. Welcome, Susie. Please place yourself on the record and begin your 2 minutes. It seems we still do not have Ms. Pearson, so we will come back to her. So in Anchorage, we have Elise Huggins with the Alaska Chapter of American Society of Landscape Architects, followed by Paul Seaton. Ms. Huggins, please place yourself on the record and begin your 2 minutes.
Hi, my name is Elise Huggins. I am the president for the local Alaska Chapter of the American Society of Landscape Architects, and I am here to testify in favor of SB 41, the long trail system. We're very interested in this system for a couple of reasons. Landscape architects are designers. We do a lot of trail design as well as development throughout different types of projects throughout Anchorage. One of the things that we do is a lot of recreation planning. And our support for this project has a lot to do with helping Alaska diversify its economy. Right now, our membership and a lot of us, well, for example, I'm close to retiring and I already have 3 trail hikes planned in the next 4 years that are the Appalachian Trail, the Pacific Crest Trail, and the San Diego, the El Camino de Santiago in Europe. So the amount of money in the next 5 years that I put into the local economies is pretty tremendous. And this is just going on local trail systems or connected trail systems that are very important. So Alaska could benefit huge opportunities in terms of economy and how we diversify our economy. We have, the trail just can't be understated in its importance. It's a key element in furthering the state's economy, as I noted. In Washington state, the trail users contributed over $8.2 billion and supported 81,000 jobs annually. They saved $300 million in healthcare and provided $5.9 million in ecosystem services. These are important things, and Alaska is a prime opportunity to take advantage of the increased jobs. This trail will not only be something that can be designed to be environmentally sound, it can be designed to provide opportunities for all types of users, the hikers, the walkers, the bike users, the people that have mobility disabilities. There'll be sections of the trail that can deal with that. This will be a year-round trail that provides activities totally seasonally or around the year. And Alaska could be some help in terms of our economy on a year-round basis.
Ms. Huggins, please welcome her testimony.
Oh, great. Am I done?
Your time has expired. If you could just wrap up, please.
Great. I'm done. I could just go on and on. Thank you very much. And I really appreciate the past funding that we've been provided, or the system has been provided.
Great. Thank you, Ms. Huggins. We appreciate you calling in. Next from Kachemak is former Representative Paul Seaton, followed by Lisa Paisani. Representative Seaton, welcome to Senate Finance.
Thank you. For the record, my name is Paul Seaton. I live in Kachemak City. I'm representing myself, and I was a state representative for 16 years. I have 2 comments on HB 39. First, I ask that you reduce the proposed deficit by adopting the oil tax reforms proposed in SB 114. This is the only revenue source that can be implemented for the current proposed budget. That revenue would be generated by treating all major oil producers equally, regardless of the company's internal structure. And it would also lower the maximum per barrel tax credit from $8 per barrel to $5 per barrel. The second request is that you move the $5 million appropriation allocated to taking over the EPA's 404 permitting process from that allocation to the Renewable Energy Fund. the state's 404 permitting process would be a hit to all future budgets and require more than 20 full-time ongoing employees. I worry that the 404 process under the state control would, there would be a lot of leverage not to fully follow the standards, and that could lead to many federal lawsuits. So thank you very much.
Thank you, former Representative Paul Seaton. We appreciate hearing from you. Next from Anchorage is Lisa Pesani, followed by Richard Gustafson. Lisa, welcome to Senate Finance. Please place yourself on the record.
Yes, thank you very much. My name is Mary Lisa Pisani, for the record. I really appreciate the time to testify on two issues. I'm calling first to request the state to fully fund Head Start. We know that high-quality early education leads to the future success of students. We need to do this for our population and our economy in Anchorage. We don't want to lose any more families. Head Start has been flat-funded since 2010. It needs resources to recruit and retain employees and meet the needs of the families it serves. The high quality of Head Start is guaranteed by intensive federal monitoring, which does not cost anything to the state of Alaska. Please vote to approve the $5 million needed to keep Head Start for Alaskan children and their families. Also, on a side note, I am on the board of directors for Head Start, and I do know it's a very well-run, really good organization, and I'd like to keep strong. The second issue I'd like to testify about is I'm also calling, like previous caller, to oppose the 404 primacy, I think it's called primacy, to reject the funding of the $5 million per year for the state to take over the permitting process for the Clean Water Act from the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. It uses up funds to protect our wildlands and savanna habitat. I don't think it's a good use of funds at all, so I am asking the Senate Finance Committee to please oppose the 404 primacy proposal. That is it. I really appreciate the time and your work. Everyone there is so dedicated. So thank you very much, and thank you for hearing my testimony.
Thank you, Lisa. We appreciate you reaching out to us. Next from Homer is Richard Gustafson, followed by Sue Mauger. Mr. Gustafson, welcome to Senate Finance. Please place yourself on the record and begin your testimony.
Yeah, good afternoon. Thank you for allowing me to testify. My name is Richard Gustafson. I'm representing myself. I live in Homer, Alaska. I wrote an email to Senator Stevens saying that what a bad idea I thought it was for the state to take over 404 premises. It's a very bad idea, and to me it's just a way to shove projects down our throat that we do not want in the state of Alaska. And so I hope that you guys will not support that. I also think that it's important that SB 114 gets supported, because with all these other needs, from trails to schools to the University of Alaska to the Alaska Marine Highway System, we need to have everybody pay their fair share. So That's my testimony. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gustafson. We appreciate hearing your thoughts. Next in Homer also is Sue Mauger, followed by Tiffany Hall. Sue, welcome to Senate Finance. Please place yourself on the record and begin your 2 minutes.
Thank you very much. Appreciate the time to offer my thoughts. My name is Sue Mauger, and I am the Science and Executive Director of Cook and the Keeper. And I'm really listening in on all of the testimony for education and trails and Head Start. Is just so inspiring to hear Alaskans speaking up for their values and what they're interested in seeing in the budget. And I'd like to offer support for you to actually cut something, which would hopefully fund some of those other great programs, and that is the $5 million for the 404 primacy. There's better ways to spend that $5 million. To date, just three states have taken on wetland permitting from the federal government. Why? Because this is a function that the federal government provides to the states at no cost. To take on this complicated, often very contentious permitting process into the state budget is unnecessary and unwise. And at a time when we are having issues with the retention of state employees, this money should not be diverted to a program that is already serving the people of Alaska for free. The retention of state employees, I think, is very significant, and I'd rather see this funding help us keep some of the wonderful employees that are already serving our state. If the state really wants to mess around with permitting, it could start with providing funding to incorporate public notice and public comment on our existing fish habitat permitting program. Let's fix what's not working already before taking on new, contentious, costly projects. Thank you very much. Appreciate your time.
Thank you, Sue. We appreciate you calling in and giving us your thoughts. Next from Anchorage and Recover Alaska is Tiffany Hall, followed by Michelle Giralt. Tiffany, welcome to Senate Finance. Please place yourself on the record and begin your two-minute testimony.
Thanks very much. This is Tiffany Hall, Executive Director of Recover Alaska. Thanks to the members of Senate Finance. I'm the Executive Director of Recover Alaska. We're a multi-sector action group working to reduce excessive alcohol use and harms across the state. I am just calling in support generally of maintained funding for prevention, treatment, and recovery services, specifically including support to both behavioral health and public health crisis now continuum of care grants, maintaining the behavioral health treatment and recovery grants, and supporting peer support certification funding. I will keep it brief and submit longer testimony via email. So thanks very much for taking my call.
Thank you, Ms. Hall. We appreciate the work that you do. Next in Anchorage is Michelle Giralt, with Executive Director of Hope Community Resources, followed by George Pierce. Michelle, welcome to Senate Finance. Please place yourself on the record and begin your two-minute testimony.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon. As stated, my name is Michelle Giraud. I live in Anchorage, and I am the Executive Director of Hope Community Resources, a nonprofit serving Alaskans with disabilities in six regions of the state. I also serve as the board president for the Key Coalition of Alaska, which is a statewide advocacy group for people with disabilities. And I'm also a guardian for a dear friend with Down syndrome who receives home and community-based disability support services. I'm very aware you all are balancing a number of demands this session, and I'm very grateful for your work toward bettering outcomes for Alaskans. There are many aspects of the budget that are important to me, but today I'm speaking on behalf of Alaskans with disabilities. Last session, senior and disabilities were directed to present a plan to the legislature to eradicate the wait list for services for Alaskans with disabilities that currently wait an average of nearly 5 years for service. I am in full support of the funds allocated this session to further support step one of this plan so we can move forward to eradicate that wait list. To assure there is a system in place to receive people coming off the wait list, I'm also in full support of an additional $15 million increment to create a bridge while the Department of Health works toward a better rate restructuring plan that would align reimbursement with the cost of providing these services. And personally, I'm very much in support of a smaller PFD in order that the critical needs of Alaskans could be met. Thank you for the time to allow all of us to give you testimony.
Thank you very much. We appreciate you calling. Next from Kasilov is George Pierce. Welcome, Mr. Pierce. Please place yourself on the record and begin your two-minute testimony.
Thank you for taking my testimony. My name is George Pierce. I'm calling from Kasilov, and I'm representing the community. I'm not here to ask for money. I'm here to rein in on the spending. For the last 40 years, our state relied heavily on revenues from the oil production to fund state government. In recent years, since Walker and the rest of the legislators went along, since used the permanent fund in 2024, 60% of appropriations will come from the PFD and only 32% from the oil. Wow, you need to address the flaws in our SB 21 loopholes. Correction, we have paid for loopholes 9 years, costing hundreds and hundreds of millions. Our budget needs to recover from decades of excessive growing government spending. You need to cut out these pet projects, people. Our 2023-24 budget is over $8.3 billion. 38.1 increase, and that's not including the people's PFD. Our current UGF revenue are on track to decline by 20% in the next few years. What happened to the responsible Alaska budget rule that you passed last year that set spending amounts at $6.5 billion for 2023? That would have prioritized the needs of Alaskans without growing more government. Instead of a fiscal restraint, you took the money and ran. Our budget needs a balanced approach, and oil and gas is up and down and not a need to hang our state budget on.
Thank you, Mr. Pierce.
It's not hard to figure out.
You
need to tax the industry and get rid of some of these loopholes. Quit funding nonprofits, special interest groups, and giving the money away to special needs, special interest groups.
Thank you, Mr. Pierce. We appreciate hearing from you today. Looks like our final testifier in the Anchorage LIO is Susie Pearson with the Abused Women Aid in Crisis. Susie, welcome to Senate Finance. Please place yourself on the record and begin your two-minute testimony.
Thank you so much for hearing from me today. I appreciate your patience and getting me on the line. My name is Susie Pearson, and I'm the Executive Director of Abused Women's Aid in Crisis, or AWAKE, in Anchorage. AWAKE is the only emergency domestic violence shelter in Anchorage with 67 beds, a 24-hour crisis line, transitional housing programs, and non-residential support. AWAKE funding comes from multiple sources. However, the largest funder for our shelter program is CDBSA. The crime of domestic violence and sexual assault is a scourge on our state. Last year, AWAKE served 519 adults and children in shelter. With 4 months to go in this fiscal year, we've already served 587. Additionally, we provided support via our crisis support line to 6,425 last year, and this year we've already responded to 8,582 calls. The demand for our services is increasing while our recruitment and retention levels have been low. We currently have 5 vacant positions. We've been filling them with on-call staff and overtime, which has put stress on our team and is causing burnout. In the state's budget, there's a $3 million one-time increment of general funds, as well as a $3.5 million federal appropriation through Senator Murkowski. Without these one-time increments, services for victims of domestic violence and sexual assault would be $6.5 million short from previous year's funding. AWAKE supports this funding. One, AWAKE is requesting that one-time general funds be put into the base for CDBSA in order to create a sustainable income source. Second, we are asking for additional funds in order to address the flat funding of domestic violence and sexual assault programs over the last 5 years. Thank you so very much for your time today.
Thank you, Susie. It's nice to hear from you, and thank you for that important work you do. That was our final test. Can we take a brief at ease, please? Senate Finance on the record, we confirmed that that was all of our testifiers today, and we appreciate everyone taking the time out of their day to let us know what they feel about our budget. So this will conclude this meeting's afternoon. Our next meeting will be on Monday, April 24th at 9 a.m. At that meeting, we will take up Senate Bill 78, Hunt Fish License for Non-Resident Student, Senate Bill 99, Financial Literacy Course in Schools, and Senate Bill 67, PFAS Use Firefighting. And with that, we will close public testimony, and we will adjourn at 2:54 p.m.